In today's episode of our Business and Justice series, Sib Sibanda interviews Karen Krauser, the Chief Excitement Officer and founder of iSlices Innovation Technologies. They discuss how you can make a real contribution to the social justice landscape in Africa by assessing your supply chain, and how even just helping one person is significant in the kingdom. Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
Welcome, everybody, to this Zwani interview. I'm joined by Karen Krauser. And Karen, thanks for joining us. Great to have you with us on the Zwani podcast.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, Sims. It's wonderful to participate. I love Zwani.
Fantastic. Well, today we're talking about how Christians in business can make a tangible contribution to the social justice landscape in South Africa. But before we dive into that, Karen, please tell us a bit about your business and how you came to be, in your own words, the Chief Excitement Officer of iSlices.
Well, that always gets a reaction. And I say, anybody's allowed that title as long as you live up to it. So if you want to call yourself the Chief Excitement Officer, you better bring the excitement.
And, I like it.
And that's what I try and do around my business. So we span the entire supply chain from research and development right through to manufacturing, product development, packaging, export, sales, marketing. So we've touched just about the entire supply chain. And in essence, we have a globally unique cryogel dermal delivery system that's like a solid gel patch that we can incorporate any ingredients into. And so it has its applications in the cosmetic, medical, and veterinary industries, as anywhere from anti-aging patches like your high-tech cucumber slices right through to stuff that treats burns and wounds.
Wow, fantastic. And I just have to say, we met a few months back at Zwani launch, and Karen gave away complimentary packs of the iSlices. I brought them home to my wife and teenage daughter, and I was a real hero for a couple of days. So thank you, Karen. Great product. Okay, let's talk supply chain and social justice. Now, obviously, this supply chain conversation is not a new one, nor is it limited to Christian businesses. There's been growing pressure, especially in the retail sector, to order suppliers back to matters such as child labor, minimum wages, treatment of minorities, environmental consciousness, and so on. So in your view, what does the biblical perspective add to this conversation? Or to put it another way, how does redemptive engagement by Christians in business look any different from what the world is already doing?
That's such a good question. I think it's just a brilliant question, because the world, rightly so, there is pressure on supply chains from retailers. So for example, in our sector, retailers stocking cosmetic products are all looking for packaging that doesn't harm the environment. They want to see our auditing process in terms of our supply chain that don't have child labor and all of those things. And so companies are almost being forced to comply with some of those areas. But if we look at Christian business, the first thing that jumps to mind is motive.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord always looks at the heart, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it's always about the motive. So while business may do things to earn brownie points or get into a retailer or, you know, contribute to various causes so that they get good PR, there always seems to be something in it for us as businesses when we do things the way the world does them. But if we do things God's way, it's always about the heart and it's always about the motive and it's always about why, the why behind why we're doing things. And, you know, God's kingdom is always counterintuitive. So in tough times, for example, the world goes, oh, cut back, cut down, you know, cut salaries, cut your labor force. And everybody thinks, well, that's okay. You know, it's tough and we need to retrench and people are going to lose their jobs. But what happens in the background that the PR agencies and the governments, what the BE points and that don't see is, do the CEOs of top management, would they be prepared to take a salary cut so they can keep more staff on in tough times and help those families and not lose their staff? Are they prepared to do other things? Are they prepared to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and look at God's principles and ways of running things and managing things in tough times, which is exactly what we're in, as opposed to just what seems to be acceptable or what you have to do from a business perspective.
Right.
So that's always the challenge, is the real motive and what goes on in the background. And yeah. Are those CEOs still taking top salaries and just cutting all those guys at the bottom who are really crying?
Yeah, that's brilliant. There's just two thoughts come to my mind as I'm listening to you, Karen. The first one is just on that point of motive. I was reminded as you were sharing that Matthew 6, where Jesus says, be careful not to do your act of righteousness or meant to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no rewards from the Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And this is speaking to what you're saying, that the motive behind what we're doing as Christians and businesses is so important. Yes, we must be wise, but it's not so much about, you know, making a noise and saying, oh, look at me, what I'm doing. It's really about bringing glory to God. So I really like what you're saying. But the other thought that comes to my mind is, I think sometimes as Christians, we perhaps have this idea that our role in society is to point out all that's wrong in society and say, no, that's wrong and that's evil, that's ungodly, etc. But we need to realize that actually part of our role as redemptive business people is to affirm what is good in society, right? So I'm listening to this whole thing about how the world is already doing so much with respect to politics and climate change. And sometimes where my mind went is, so what should Christians do differently? And I think you get the nail on the head. It's not so much that we need to do anything differently. We can affirm that what's happening is good, that, hey, we do need to audit supply chain and what's happening here with the retailers and all of that. That is good. But then to then add that sort of belief, it's really about the why. Why are we doing that? And actually trusting God for wisdom to be even more creative and more generous in spirit in the way we go about these things, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you just said the word generous, and that was the other thing I wanted to say on the topic, is if we look at God and we look at the universe and we look at the way God treats us, it is with such generosity. Mm. I mean, the generosity of love, the generosity of provision. You just have to look at nature. You just have to look at some of the most spectacular places on this planet and just think, well, God just decided that was, you know, so much was created even just for our pleasure.
Yeah.
And so are we doing just the bare minimum to comply with what the world is expecting and retailers are now, you know, expecting? Or are we going over and beyond the call of duty? Are we not just not paying minimum wage, but are we paying our staff proper living wages? Are we educating them on how to manage their budgets? Are we assisting them to get better housing, for example? What are we doing over and beyond the basic call of duty from a generosity perspective? And you had just touched on that, and I thought that is just confirmation on what I was feeling.
That's brilliant. And I just jotted down here, are we being compliant or transformative? Might be a good question to ask, right?
Very good. Very good.
So now, tell me, it all sounds wonderful in theory, but can you share some examples of what you are doing as a business to bring about, in your own way, biblical social justice in your supply chain? And I'm pretty sure you've had your fingers burnt along the way. So perhaps could you share some of those challenges as well?
100%. So my passion is people. I love people. And, you know, we've heard it preached a million times. You can't say you love God and not love people. So I'm sure that goes without say for most Christian business owners.
Yeah.
And I think because I operate in the prophetic, I can see the gold in people. I love to call us, see their potential and call it out. And that's around the area of skills and skills development. And it's definitely one of the broad-based Black economic empowerment principles, which I absolutely love. And I think it is one of the ways that, you know, small businesses, even if you don't have a lot of resources, it has been the area that we could give back, was to upskill and skill up staff. The problem is that we have such a massive gap of unskilled labor in this country that it is like a bottomless abyss. You know, you would train up and you'd raise up people, you skill them up and, you know, you've got some good staff and all of a sudden somebody offers them a little bit more money and they're off without talking to you.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to God once, like really complaining and saying, Lord, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm like, I'm getting wary for doing good now. Done. I'm just going to hire people with the skill. I'm just going to have them do their job. I'll pay them a good wage. I'll treat them fairly, but that's it. I'm not going the generosity side of it. All this upskilling, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I felt God say to me, you need to keep focused on the bigger picture, that it's not just about your business. You are putting your skills back into the economy. You're actually making a difference in the country. And that really struck me. And I think that's good for us to keep in mind, that it's not always about us and myself and our little ecosystem of our little business world, but that it has a knock-on effect. Yes. And that we shouldn't get weary in doing good, because in due course, we will reap that harvest. And so I continue to just skill up. You don't always have people that want to be skilled. You can take a horse to water, but you can't force people to drink. So you face those obstacles, but that's been a passion of ours. And we know that we've done that well. Then what we did on the manufacturing side is we had overflow work. We get for other packing companies that do packing work of cartons and boxes. And we found a company that employed disabled people of various types of disabilities. And we were so excited, because we thought, this is amazing. These people have an opportunity to be sitting on a chair, but using their hands, doing something that they enjoy, but gives them some purpose. And we were just about to hire these guys. And it was quite a while ago. So I remember, don't remember all of the details, but something got highlighted to us on the pricing. There was an issue on the, I don't know if the guy disclosed his pricing strategy, but when we asked, what do your guys earn? You know, what are you paying your laborers? It was way below the minimum wage. And these guys had concocted some kind of system to barely pay these guys a meager living, because they're getting government subsidies, all sorts of things. And they were the ones benefiting off it. And unfortunately, we had to turn around, and we told them why we weren't going to use them. And we hope that, well, I don't know if that seed fell on any fertile kind of soil, but we obviously didn't do business with them. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to keep everything in the country, and especially so that we can audit our supply chain ethically and authentically, as opposed to importing from China. So there's only been one or two items out of, so maybe 99% of what we do is done in South Africa, purchased in South Africa, all of our parts, our packaging, ingredients. We support local business and then make sure, as far as we possibly can, that we're doing business with ethical companies. We've been to their businesses. We've met the people. We know their values. And for the most part, we feel really confident to say that our supply chain is clean.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm very inspired. Again, as I was listening to you, this tension came to my mind. Right? So we're living in a country with massive social justice issues, massive poverty. And so as a Christian business person, it can often feel like you want to make a massive difference, or difference on a massive scale. And you want whatever you do, whatever effort you make as an engaging redemptively in society to have massive impact. So you've got that on one hand, but then on the other hand, you've got the God who loves the one.
Yes.
God who values the one, not just the multitudes, but the one. And so when you think about, you know, helping one person through and upskilling them and so on, and even if they're smashed up by somebody else, you know, and you sort of think, well, we've just empowered one person in a year or two, and need is so great. I think it's important to just be careful then and hold that tension of, there's much to be done, but we'll serve a God who loves even just the one, and to be able to persevere in that. And I find that's also a challenge for our ego, isn't it, business people? If I come to you and say, well, Karen, how many people buy a check, right? It's much better to say, oh, we do about 200 a year. You know, we're upskilling about 200 a year and so on. But if you were to say, oh, just one, sometimes for our own ego, which again just shows the ultimate behind why we do the things that we do, is if it wasn't about us, we would rejoice in the Lord over the one and not sort of weep over, oh, I didn't manage to hit 200 and I don't have a big story to tell. Just help the one person. Does that resonate at all?
Totally, Sims. I was actually going to share. You're so Holy Spirit led, man. I just love it. That's amazing. Just last night, you know how on Facebook you get these memories come up of things you've posted? And we have a lady called from DSOI who started with us about, I think she's been with us about 9 years. And when she first came to us, she had missing teeth. and absolutely no skills. And she started really at the bottom, just packing. And because one person, very skilled person who was with us a long time, left, all of a sudden she could kind of rise to the next level in the business. And she's just risen and risen and skilled up. And she's an amazing story. But the most exciting thing that we did for her was we got her teeth fixed. And I mean, as a woman or anybody, and you're missing her teeth in the front, she never wanted to smile. She was always self-conscious. She lacked confidence, even in her work. She would always be the one hiding in the corner. She was like the lowest ranking amongst the guys themselves, not where we put her, because we see everyone as equal in our business, an equal van, and love each individual person. But, you know, in their little, what happens in a factory and the little ecosystems and things, she was really at the bottom of the ladder and her confidence. And we got her teeth fixed for her. And for somebody to afford that level of dentistry, they could never allow thousands, you know?
Yep.
We shared the cost. We said, we'll pay everything up front, but we're going to share 2/3 and 1/3 or something. And she paid a little bit over 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we got her teeth fixed. It was an astounding turnaround in her life. Astounding. Her confidence, she's still with us today. She's our factory. She's a supervisory position. She's just amazing and an amazing blessing. And that memory came up on Facebook and I was so excited to see it.
Well, there you go. And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Just the
ability to be able to rejoice over that one and be thankful to God for him allowing you to have some part in empowering someone in that way. It's a really beautiful thing. So Karen, as we wind down, what word of encouragement would you give to Christian business people, entrepreneurs who have got their fingers burnt in the past and either disengaged from the brokenness in the supply chain or are considering doing so?
So for me, the whole essence of the gospel is that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, so often we can be listening to these podcasts or, you know, even in doing these interviews, you just think about how much more you could be doing or maybe areas you failed or you haven't really stepped up. And, you know, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And I think it's never too late to repent. Number one, to earnestly go before God and just repent for the stuff we've done in the past or what we failed to do. Even failing to do something good for someone is not a good thing, where we had the means to maybe help someone and didn't.
Yes.
But it's never too late to repent. And that forgiveness is always there, past, present, and future. And it's never too late to start again. It's never too late to today make changes in our businesses, our supply chains, our habits, our way of thinking, our hearts. And for me, obedience is just a non-negotiable. If we just stay closely attuned in to the Holy Spirit and we just hear his still voice, he'll tell us where in our businesses and at the stage and the level we're in with the resources we've got, what he wants us to do, what changes he wants us to make, where he wants us to step out in faith. We don't need to look at what other people are doing or not doing. We just need to focus on our journey, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, and just walk that out in obedience. And you said it earlier on, and that for me was going to be my absolute closing, which is just confirmation again, is that there are those eternal rewards that we mustn't get weary in doing good, because there are those eternal rewards and we want to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not on earth where both and, you know, everything can get to it. The enemy can steal from us. It's so temporary. It's such a temporary existence. We live on this earth, but what we want to be doing is storing up those eternal rewards that have many crowns to cast before the feet of our King one day when he comes back in glory to judge us all. So that's my final word of encouragement, and I've encouraged myself.
I love that. And it just reminded me of another verse as you were talking, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So for those people in that situation, and it's so important to remember, end of the day, it's not even so much about the people you're empowering or think you're trying to help or anything like that. It's really about doing it all for the Lord. And can I just say, Karen, you officially have earned the title of Chief Excitement because I don't know, I cannot imagine anyone getting to this podcast without sort of feeling the excitement and faith and encouragement to go and be all that God has called us to be as Christians in the marketplace. So I just want to say on behalf of everybody who's going to listen to this, thank you, Karen, Chief Excitement Officer, for your time here today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thanks, Sims. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
Thanks. God bless.
You too.
We would love to hear your thoughts on this series. So please remember to leave a comment in the rating section after listening to the episode.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to hear more conversations on the topic of redemptive business in Africa, visit Ziwani's website at www.ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.